In the name of God, Creator, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Beautiful bulletin cover, isn't it? You know what that is? Dancing Lutherans. That's right. These are dancing Palestinian Lutherans from Ramallah, just like the Swedes. It's a reforming church. See the picture on the inside of the bulletin? Photo. That's Swami Abhishektananda. I met him in India years ago. We spent time at an ashram together. The Swami was a masterful yogi. He could walk, stop right here, and do a headstand. Boom, like that, stay there 20 minutes. All day long. Unbelievable. Most masterful yogi I've ever met. He also loved to read the sports section of the newspaper. It's just wonderful to see him reading the paper every day, sports. Oh yeah, and he's a Christian too. Reforming church. Did you know that 80% of the Church of England is black? Because 80% of the membership of the Anglican Church is in the continent of Africa. It's a reforming church. 3 key dynamics of the Reformation. 1 was the priesthood of all believers, absolutely insisting on the affirmation and the dignity of every human being. And from that resulted democracy, the most profound political system in the world, still evolving. That's the descendant, the priesthood of all believers. And the third astounding one is music. It's not that we're the only ones to have music, don't get me wrong. But there's this marvelous mandolin player. I think Teal is his last name. You may have seen him interviewed on 60 Minutes a while back. He's in his mid-30s. He's playing mandolin, bluegrass, right? Except that every concert he also plays a one set of Bach. And the interviewer in 60 Minutes... Why are you doing that? Because, he said, musicians know that first there is Bach and then there's music. Wow. Bach happened to be a Lutheran. And every composition he composed ended in a major chord in honor of the resurrection of Christ. This is our roots. This is our foundation, friends, that we get to build on. As Luther said, those who sing, pray twice. Are there reforms going on today? Evolution is the revolution. Yeah. You see, the unfolding of life in its magnificence, as scientists in particular share it with us, of the discoveries, the explorations, the fascinating... We're all stardust, right? Powerful. What a gift. Science is a fantastic partner now. But there's also the unfolding of the mystery of life through the Spirit. The one who leads us to playfulness and possibility, to creativity, and to meaning. The church is no longer an organization of the righteous. No, the church is an energy field, dancing and playing with the righteous wherever they are. And you remember the definition of righteous, I hope. The righteous people are those who make life all right. I think, yeah, I need to hear that from you now. So the righteous are people who make life, let me hear it, all right. This house is filled with righteous people. Do you know that? And that is the biblical definition. To make it all right. That's why we're coming together, to nurture that capacity, that courage, that endurance, to make it all right. Because a lot of people don't believe it can be made all right anymore, do they? Jesus never met a sinner he didn't love. He said, you belong to the light. Turn to the light. Go work and create in the light. No probation period. Just make it all right. Wherever you are. The path for us today is that the way forward is the way inward. To pray, to meditate, to contemplate, to be in the stillness of nature, to revitalize that connection with who we are and God has become essential, because the times are so challenging, aren't they? The way forward is the way inward, to be grounded, centered, attuned in that grace and wisdom of God. Because then quality can become the foundation of our lives. And that's what's so desperately needed, is people living out of the quality of who we are, to move and shift from the frenzy of life to calmness and composure, what's called the leisure of grace. Isn't it funny how that almost threatens us? That we're invited to live in the leisure of grace. And, well, I'd like to, but I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. I need to participate in the madness and keep it going, because if it's not, you know, it'll just all stop if I'm not participating in the frenzy. The leisure of grace. Grounded people. We need to move from acquiring things. That has a place in life. But we need to move to the inquiring of what life is about. We need to move from the sensationalism with which we are bombarded, especially by our TV news, right? Can you imagine Walter Cronkite sharing the things that we hear night after night? It's silly. It's vapid. We need to move to lives of reflection, and this congregation cares about that, because people of faith may not shirk the complexities of life. It is hard. But we're not here to avoid all that. We're here to participate, because that's what discipleship is. It's not escape, into spiritual realms, or escaping from responsibility. It is committing ourselves to the healing, to the loving, to the transforming of this world. A world which wants to commodify everything, especially people. Yeah? That's what we're being reduced to these days. I mean, we've got some in people, we've got some cool people, we've got some really with it people. You know, they tend to live in Silicon Valley or Hollywood or Washington, D.C., and we regularly hear about all 25 of their lives, you know. All the time. And then there's us, you know, and then we got all the discards and rejects, and there's way too many of those people on the planet, don't you think? Right? We are not here to commodify this existence. We are here to make communion with the whole life. That's what we've been called. To make it whole, to make it alive for all and all beings. Love, God, heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbors as yourselves. The monk Thomas Merton said, "We don't give ourselves in love to each other anymore. We just make deals." Right? We just cut deals. Our ultimate responsibility is not to get through this life as best we can. Our ultimate responsibility is to generate life for the next generation. How shall we bless them? How shall we create life which can be sustained for our kids and grandkids and all the children of this earth? Therefore, we need to live what are called anticipatory lives, that we are anticipating not an annihilation of the future, but the transformation of creation. Grounded people, people of quality, disciples, compassionate people will be creating this. God works with us in our endeavors to bless and multiply where we are and beyond. That's why what you do really matters. Make it righteous. Make it all right. Wherever you are. When Luther hammered those doors, the initial response he got was, "What?" And then he got, "You're kidding." And then he got, "You're crazy." And then he got, "Stop it! You will cease and desist." And that's the way reforming always happens. Always. Because we're creating a new way of being, of living, of becoming human. We need new language to express that. That's why we live in this in-between zone all the time, trying to communicate what it is our heart's passion. Because we're anticipating the future. Live it out in our lives now. It was from the hellhole of the bowels of Nazi Germany during the war and in prison that Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "What we need today is a religionless Christianity." How do we live God in a world that lives as if there is no God? How do we live God as if there is no God? Love your neighbors as yourself. Partner with the righteous wherever you find them, with those who are making everything all right. And it means we need to meet people where they are, not just join us and come in here, meet people where they are. So we welcome Hindu friends who join us for meditation here on Thursday. And we welcome the atheists who come to jazz. And we welcome the Buddhists and Baha'is, the Sikhs and Sufis who've joined us in worship here. And we have this profound opportunity for the dialogue with Beth Heim in this class coming up to heal 2,000 years of destructive pain between Judaism and Christianity. This is powerful, friends. It's a powerful opportunity. I also appreciate an email I got recently from a person who said, "You know, a while back was the first time I ever got to stand for communion next to a golden retriever. I'd never had that before. And I was terribly moved. Because God really is making everything. Oh, that's what we live for. That peace. Peace, Christ's mission, Christ's passion. That's our calling, to dare peace, to risk peace, to be the peace of Christ, who gives His life and His love and raises us up so that we might be bread, broken for a hungry world. Make it. All right. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.